Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link this Friday, the 21st of April. I am Jane Ayeka-Kumet in Bonn, Germany.
And I'm your co-host Crispin Mwakideo.
In today's program, English-speaking Cameroonians rejoice as internet is reconnected.
The people were cut off and they knew they were not part of the Republic of Cameroon. But now that the internet has been given back to them, they feel involved, they feel being a citizen in a country.
And the internet might be back in southern Cameroon, but our users on social media say the issue is much bigger than just being reconnected to the web. Stick around for more.
French attack. President François Hollande argues vigilance ahead of the elections.
We will be absolutely vigilant, especially in regards to the electoral processes.
Those stories and a lot more coming up shortly, but first let's hear what's been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. A Dutch court on Friday has sentenced a businessman to 19 years in prison for arms trafficking and for aiding war crimes in Liberia and Guinea. The 74-year-old was found guilty of delivering weapons to armed forces of ex-Liberian leader Charles Taylor, who was convicted of war crimes in neighboring Sierra Leone during its civil war in the late 1990s. At least 20 students have been killed in a bus accident outside South Africa's capital, Pretoria. A spokesman for emergency services at the crash site said several children were injured after the bus collided with a truck and caught fire. The cause of the collision is not yet known. Also in South Africa, artist Ayanda Mabulu has faced criticism over his painting that appears to show a sexual act between President Jacob Zuma and late leader Nelson Mandela. The Mandela Foundation and the ruling African National Congress Party have said they respect Mabulu's freedom of expression, but have called the art distasteful. Tensions along the Gambia's border with Senegal have escalated. We go to DW correspondent Omar Wali for more.
Fighting broke out yesterday between Gambian soldiers and Senegalese troops at former President Yahya Jammeh's residence in Kanilai. Trouble began when Senegalese troops who are in the Gambia on a bilateral mission attempted to cross the border into Kasama through Jammeh's residence. They were stopped by Gambian soldiers who had not received command from authorities to allow Senegalese troops to enter. During the push and pull, a Senegalese soldier opened fire, causing minor injuries.
This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. The United Nations mission in South Sudan has said its camps for displaced migrants are overwhelmed, as more than 15,000 people have arrived in a single week after fleeing violence and hunger in the western region of Bagari. An International Organization for Migration team leader spoke to reporters about the dire conditions.
The current water system that we are using, it was not enough to cover all the population that is had arrived. There is a need for us also to putting effort and providing more water for people who are arriving newly.
At least seven Nigerians have been killed in an electrical accident after a power line fell on a building where a packed group of football fans watched Manchester United play Anderlecht. 11 others were injured, one critically. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari and the Manchester United Foot Club have expressed their condolences to all affected. And now in sports, German state police have arrested a 28-year-old suspect in last week's Dortmund Borussia bus bombing, reportedly a German-Russian citizen. Interior ministers said the suspect allegedly attempted murder for greed, as the suspect had placed a bet on the team's stock price, hoping the blast would send stocks plummeting. Also in Bundesliga football, FC Köln takes on Hoffenheim in tonight's action as Hoffenheim looks to stay third on the table. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
This is DW's Africa Link with me, Jane Ayeka-Kumet.
And I'm Crispin Mwakideo.
We start in Cameroon, where the people in the English-speaking part of the country can finally rejoice, for they have been reconnected to the rest of the world. This comes after President Paul Biya ordered internet restoration 3 months after it was disconnected amid protests against the predominantly French-speaking government. From Yaoundé, Moki Kinseka tells us why the sudden reconnection.
Staff of Cameroon Net and Security Surveillance Enterprise in Obili, a neighborhood in Yaoundé, celebrating the reinstatement of the internet in the English-speaking regions of Cameroon. The company was transferred from Bamenda to Yaoundé 3 months ago when internet was shut down. Its boss, Che David, says the reinstatement was due to pressure from internet users and also the United Nations.
To me, it is a bold step that the government has taken to solve a problem. You know, the people were cut off and they knew they were not part of the Republic of Cameroon. But now that the internet has been given back to them, they feel involved. They feel being a citizen in a country.
Residents of the northwest and southwest regions of Cameroon started using it immediately it was reconnected. One of them is Nje Rudolph, a cyber cafe worker whom I interviewed on Skype from Boya.
When I got the news, I was very delighted. I was very happy that at last I will not be staying in the house again. I'll not have nothing to do. So right now I'll resume my normal duty like a cyber operator.
Cameroon Minister of Communication, Libong Lilikeng, says although internet is back, they will continue to monitor the situation.
Our security forces have platforms to track and keep a check on people, just like all other countries in the world. I'd like to recall that the goal of the government is to encourage digital economy. We want to encourage the use of social media, but we are telling Cameroonians not to abuse this instrument, promoted by the highest authorities of the land. There should be a responsible use.
The internet shutdown was government's response to a series of paralyzing protests in the English-speaking regions of the country. The regions were protesting against marginalization by the majority French-speaking regions, with some calling for a return to the federal system.
Moki Kinseka in Cameroon. Now, Crispin, I suppose that the newly reconnected have already taken onto the net to either be celebrate or talk about this topic.
Absolutely, Ayeko. There's a lot of hype going on now, right now on our Facebook page as I watch. Tabby Lovelin Tabby says the government just realized that they have been wasting their time. The situation has not changed. An internet cut was an act of intimidation. The government is still to solve the real issues. And then another user who goes by the name Baby Baby Love says the problem of Southern Cameroon is not about the internet.
So what is the real problem here?
Well, from the comments that are coming in, most users are demanding that all prisoners related to the Anglophone protest that we've just had be released. And a number of them are demanding self-determination or total independence for the people of Southern Cameroon. And that is something that President Paul Biya has completely ruled out, of course. He has said that it's not negotiable. Yeah. So you have comments like this one coming in from Christopher Eze. He says, Cameroon will only get better when this old kleptomaniac is out of leadership.
Thank you very much, Crispin. We shall get back to that a little later. But let's come back here in Europe and go to France, where French police have tightened election security after a suspected terror attack killed a policeman and injured two others in the capital, Paris, just days ahead of its presidential election. Now, Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but the authorities are still investigating and yet to confirm. Eddie Maika Jr. has been finding out how this could impact on the upcoming election.
The attacker, 39-year-old Karim Shofi, was shot dead by one of the police officers on patrol. Though authorities are yet to confirm who's responsible for the attack, French President François Hollande, after an emergency meeting, said he is convinced it is a terror attack.
We will be absolutely vigilant, especially in regards to the electoral processes. Everyone will understand in this moment that my thoughts are with the family of the police officer who was killed and with the relatives of the wounded police officers.
The country has been under a state of emergency since 2015 after a spate of Islamist militant attacks that have killed more than 230 people. Terrorism has been a major theme of the upcoming French elections, and how it will be dealt with is high on the agenda and likely to sway voters in favor or against a presidential candidate. French citizens of African descent have also expressed various opinions about the upcoming elections. Marie, originally from Côte d'Ivoire, believes the only candidate who has Africa at heart is left-wing firebrand Jean-Luc Mélenchon.
As an African, I have the impression that Mélenchon has better understood what is going on in Africa and talks more about it than the other candidates. He is more of the opinion that France should give Africa space to emancipate themselves from the former colonizer and not always take orders from Europe.
The first round of the presidential race will be held on Sunday, and more than 50,000 security officials will be deployed to provide security.
Eddie Micah Jr. reporting. Now we go back to Africa and go to Zimbabwe, where court today, Friday, refused to drop subversion charges against Pastor Evan Mawarire. Mawarire came to the limelight last year when he led protests against President Robert Mugabe's government. Columbus Mavunga with the details.
Despite local and international pressure from rights groups, President Robert Mugabe's government has refused to drop subversion charges against Pastor Evan Mawarire, the founder of the hashtag This Flag movement, which last year led several anti-government protests against corruption, human rights violations, and the declining economy. A Harare court further remanded him until next month, when his trial is expected to begin. Besides a charge of subversion, which carries a 20-year sentence if convicted, Pastor Mawarire, who is on $300 bail since early February this year, is facing another charge of, quote, insulting the national flag of Zimbabwe, unquote. Amnesty International says both charges are a deliberate ploy by the Zimbabwean authorities to harass, intimidate, and ultimately silence the clergymen and all other activists. Here is Depros Mchena, Amnesty International's regional director for Southern Africa, speaking to DW about Pastor Evan Mawarire's prosecution.
Out of Pastor Evan Mawarire, they sent a clear message. Essentially, it's criticize us at your own risk. What we're also seeing is that the Zimbabwean authorities continue to persecute human rights defenders, protest leaders, and others who are taking action against the ways of the government that are not fulfilling the human rights mandate and expectation of the people. Our call as Amnesty International, therefore, is that Zimbabwean authorities must drop all the charges against him. It is high time they stopped harassing and intimidating peaceful activists through this misuse of the criminal justice system.
Zimbabwean authorities have on several occasions said they will not bow to pressure from those who are pursuing regime change agenda. That is referring to individuals or groups working with the Zimbabwean opposition to remove President Robert Mugabe from power.
Columbus Mavunga in Harare.
And after his case was postponed, Pastor Mawarire tweeted, "No amount of frustration will silence us. We are committed more than ever in the face of injustice to build a better Zimbabwe. Hashtag this flag." And of course, just to remind you that you too can be part of this program by commenting on the articles posted on our DW Africa page. Ayeko, now you and I know that religion plays a big role in Africa, right?
Yeah, certainly.
So when Russia now decides to ban the Jehovah's Witnesses, saying that they are an extremist group, and we posted that article on our Facebook page, and you can bet that people have been talking about this.
I know.
So very quickly, Nwachukwu Oziema Emmanuel says the Jehovah's Witnesses are in no way extremists. This action is just fueled by hatred by those who think otherwise about the witnesses. They are peace lovers, peacemakers, and law-abiding citizens anywhere they are found. Take time to study them very well before you conclude. And then another comment coming in from Ogechukwu Onye Achonam. He says, that's good. They should go on. That is, the ban should go rather. Another one from Johnson Ozuegbu that says, Russia is not a religious state, just like you have all the Saudis and Ayatollahs of Islam. Belo Lawal Soba says, Christian versus Christianity. So there's many, many comments coming in. Another one from Joshua Muzahura, and he says, yes, they can do that, but God continues to reign. It's a religious topic, so they are
certainly when it comes to religion.
Passionate comments coming in from people all over the place.
Yeah, it's interesting to know what religion does, how much religion impacts people's lives.
Especially in Africa.
As well as politics. We'll be getting to that a little later when we continue the program. You're listening to DW's Africa Link, coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I am Jen Ayeko-Kumet.
And with a roundup of the trending stories on social media, stay with me, Crispin Mwakideo.
Still to come, Ousmane Shehu will be joining me with the latest in the world of sports and our blog report, this time round featuring a science blogger.
Plus, the hashtag Zuma Mandela painting is trending in South Africa. Stay with us to find out why the painting is causing such an uproar.
Certainly, but first we go to South Africa, where a new labor federation has been launched today. Now, the South African Federation of Trade Unions was officially launched, and it's a brainchild of the former Secretary General of Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU. Now, Zwelizima Vavi. Vavi was expelled 2 years ago along with the National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa. DW Subri Govender in South Africa says it's militant, non-aligned, but also highly politically conscious.
This was the atmosphere at the start of the inaugural Congress of the new militant Labour Federation in South Africa. Nearly 2,000 delegates representing 21 trade unions and other interested parties sang and danced revolutionary songs to welcome the new Labour Federation, the South African Federation of Trade Unions, or SAFTU. According to its officials, the main aim of SAFTU is to fight against what they claim is continued exploitation of the marginalized South African workers and growing unemployment, poverty and inequality. Zwelinzima Vavi, anti-apartheid veteran and trade union leader, is one of the brains behind the new federation, and recently he has turned to be a critic of President Jacob Zuma.
We see the launch of the federation as just only a beginning, not an end. It's a beginning by 40 unions who are coming together who say there ought to be a new way forward for the working people. There ought to be a new way forward for this country as a whole.
Vavi said that the new Labour Federation would not be affiliated to any political party, but adopt highly political stances in its relations with the government.
Too much close a relationship with a political party simply compromises the independence of any trade union. You cannot sleep in the same bed with your own employer in the public sector and hope that in the morning you're going to be genuinely be taking up the interest of your own members.
Jay Naidu, a former trade union leader and cabinet minister in the first Nelson Mandela government in 1994, called on the trade union leaders and officials to re-energize themselves in order to promote the socio-economic interests of workers in South Africa and the entire population.
We are still talking about hunger that faces 14 million people who will go to bed hungry in our country, a rich country, where we walk on gold and platinum and diamonds, but our people are still poor. And what do our predatory elites do at the top? They fiddle the books so that their cronies in the corporate sector, the elite in power, can make money from the poverty of our people.
The new Labour Federation is seen as the emergence of yet another movement that will not only organize in the interests of workers, but a new front that will also stand up against the continued presidency of President Zuma. Vavi and his fellow leaders have already joined the protest demonstrations and marches over the past 3 weeks against Zuma's continued stay in power. They are expected to join protest marches against Zuma on Freedom Day next Thursday, April 27th.
Zubri Govender in South Africa.
And still in South Africa, a painting showing President Zuma in what appears to be a sexual act with Nelson Mandela is stirring outrage, as well as calls to respect freedom of expression. Artist Ayanda Mabulu said his painting is meant to show how scandal-plagued President Jacob Zuma has violated the hopeful legacy of Mandela. The ANC has condemned the painting, describing it as grotesque, whereas the Nelson Mandela Foundation said it found the art distasteful. DJ says art is expression, but it's never uncontrolled. This latest piece by Ayanda Mabulu I find disgusting. And then Tobela says this hashtag Ayanda Mabulu, he just wanted attention and now he got it. Joseph Mokobake tweeted, watch black South Africans unite to condemn a drawing and yet they won't unite to condemn things which are really dangerous. And another comment coming in from Babalwa Jonga, and she says, offensive or not, let us not forget the powerful message. Well done, Ayanda Mabulu.
interesting comments there on that piece of art, but they're all different ways of expression. But first, let's go to our blog report.
Blog report.
Victoria Nduta is a trained scientist and an active violin teacher. She runs the website scienceandmust.co.ke, and the blog has since taken a life of its own, giving her much more to do outside of blogging. She starts by telling DW's Wanjiku Mwaura how she got into blogging for science in the first place.
So I started Science and Must after I finished my postgraduate, because I saw a disconnect between what is really happening in science research and what gets to the public. So I started it to just bridge that. And also because I didn't feel that I received adequate career guidance in high school and even during my undergraduate. So I put up the blog so that prospective science students or even current students can get to see the options that are available to them.
What is your primary audience?
I have two primary audiences. So one is just the general public, because I write science articles that they can be able to understand and identify with. And then two, I would say science students as well.
What kind of feedback do you get from your blog posts?
So from the public, they always say that they have learned something new or understood something better in which they didn't know the right information. And then also I get emails from students asking for guidance, especially like current students asking the options that are available to them when they tell me what they're studying. And it also took like a different direction, like a mentorship on which I had not seen coming. So I get invited to forums for encouraging science students to stay in STEM. So I get invited as a mentor. And some parents also just email me to talk about if their children can take science careers.
And all of this came as a result of you blogging heavy scientific themes online.
Yeah, it's taken a surprising direction, stuff that I didn't see, but it's been interesting so far and I'm excited to see what comes out of it.
But do you have any plans for the future for your blog?
Honestly, no, but I just wanted to just create its own life because I'm fulfilling its initial purpose. So anything that arises from there, I'm willing to embrace it.
You're also a professional violin teacher. Where does your passion lie, in music or in science?
I'd say both. They both keep me sane. Like I need the science. Rather, my science needs the music and the music needs the science. So I plan on keeping both until it's no longer possible, but it's been possible all along.
Do you think there would come a time where it's no longer possible?
I'd say sometimes I'm made to choose for when one of each gets intense, but I always get back to doing both when time allows. My favorite blog post? I'd say, personally, I would say one that I was breaking down the misuse of antibiotics by people. But then the one that got the best reception is actually Biology and Beyond.
Thank you so much, Vicky.
Thank you, Anjika, for having me. It was great talking to you.
Kenyan science blogger Victoria Nduta.
And now some sports news. And DW Hausa's Usman Shehu is here to give us an update on what's happening in the world of sports. Now, Usman, let's start with home sports. When I talk about home, I mean here in Germany. And here in Germany, when you talk about sport, the first thing that comes to your mind is Bundesliga. Clearly, Bayern Munich is taking the lead championship again in the Bundesliga. This is the fifth time in a row. Do you find this interesting?
Well, it depends. To be honest, nowadays it's coming in Germany that you already know who is the winner. So while some Bayern fans find it good and feel they are the heroes of football in Germany, it is, in the other hand, making people to lose interest in looking at the football if you already know the winner. Even though this year, maybe we might see surprise, because if Leipzig continue to be in second position, then one will say, yes, even if Bayern will continue to be or is going for the fifth time as the champion of the Bundesliga. It's interesting to see a team that just joined in this season is coming to be the second. So next year we might have something.
But one thing I want us to talk about is that quite often many people want to associate themselves with winning teams like Bayern, like Dortmund and so on. But I've also come across a number of people who actually don't fancy Bayern, saying that they can't train their own players. They're always going out there because they have so much money they can buy the best players. What is your take on this one?
Both sides is interesting because having money and also buying players, that means you only go for the best. So I think those who support this point, they can say, yes, if you have the money, just buy the best and you play and you win. Because the most important thing for everything is to win. If you are a fan of Bayern, you get this argument. At the other hand, yes, because most of the players, they have history of being members or they have played in other club, and for Bayern to wait only just to go and buy, sometimes it doesn't give enthusiasm to some of the players because they already know whoever go to Bayern is ready-made.
Tomorrow we have lots of games lined up, the Bundesliga, I mean. Which games should we be looking forward to?
Most of the team are interesting, but looking at Dortmund playing very close neighbor of Borussia Mönchengladbach, I think that will give a lot of interest because, one, they are very close cities and they are rivals. Number two, Dortmund is playing at home just the first game after this attack they have. And I think that will be interesting to see this match. Borussia Dortmund, Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yes, Borussia. We shall be keeping an eye on that one, but we shall have to leave it at that. And then catch up with some Champions League. Now, the draw just finished a few hours ago, and we have Real Madrid, which is actually the current holder of the cup, will be taking on Atletico Madrid. We have two Madrids there. Were there any surprises for you that this draw came out like this?
It gives interest because Real Madrid is holding the cup now. They have the title now, and they are going to face their home rivals. And this gives a very big interest for football fans because Atlético Madrid, historically, when they meet Real Madrid, you know how it ends. It doesn't always end good.
Now, ties will be played on 2nd and 3rd of May for the first legs. And then we shall have 9th and 10th of May for the second legs. What are your expectations?
Real Madrid will continue to hold their title no matter what. I'm almost hopeful Real Madrid will definitely do all they can to continue being there. They will defeat Atlético Madrid. That's my hope.
DW's Usman Shehu with that sports update.
Right, Ayeko, still on football, and this time it's this story that we've been following about the attack on the Dortmund bus, which happened.
Yeah.
And now German police have arrested a 28-year-old man suspected of being behind last week's attack on the Borussia Dortmund soccer team. Greed, not ties to international terror, is thought to have motivated the suspect. And the suspect was identified as Sergei W. As you know, under German law, Ayeko, media is not allowed to publish the full names of suspects.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sergei holds both German and Russian nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
He reportedly bought options to short sell 15,000 shares of Borussia Dortmund stock for 78,000 euros. That's about $83,600.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he would have profited from the transaction if the price for the shares of the team would have fallen.
Yeah.
So prosecutors are saying that a significant share price drop could have been expected if a player had been seriously injured or even killed as a result of the attack.
And as far as this person is concerned, that was the right way to react to not gaining or not receiving what he expected.
Well, the thing is that they still don't have proof yet. He's just considered a suspect. They haven't really come out and say, yeah, he did it and we have the right person, but they're still investigating. But what's interesting is, of course, if indeed he carried out that attack, then it has been described as very, very disturbing because it just shows how much greed has penetrated some of these people who deal in football, gambling and sports betting and all that kind of, buying shares.
Yeah, it's really interesting how people react differently to different expectations.
Exactly. This comment coming from Shah Muhammad, he says, okay, so non-Muslim equals to other motive, but Muslim, then terrorism. Guess hypocrisy will never stop. Of course, most of the media houses that say that, oh, they had treated this attack as a terrorist attack, but now it changes the whole debate about it.
Yes, and people out there are also very quick to analyze how we in the media world certainly react or report certain instances.
Precisely. Exactly.
But I mean, it's a free world of expression. Thank you for listening to AfricaLink. We wish you a wonderful weekend.